Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex. We are still here at Terrificon, though starting to wrap things up. But before we go, we've got Scott Snyder here. Scott, welcome. Hello.
Oh, hey, Alex. It's great to see you again. I remember we did this once on a cruise ship. Remember?
Yes, we did. We talk about that literally all the time.
It was a fun one. Fan 2C.
Yes, I remember. Now we're in a casino. So
yes.
Only themed places
That's
like
it.
That.
Next time, like a wax museum, or it's got to be somewhere fun or I don't do it.
Yeah. Well, let's jump in and talk about Absolute and All In, since obviously that's absolutely all in your head and everything you're thinking about and dealing with right now. I have a very wonky question for you first.
Sure.
What is your title on this? Because it feels like, from what I've seen, you're kind of doing the job of spokesperson, coach, kind of editor a little bit. What is it?
Oh, no, not editor. They basically, like, a few years ago, Marie and DC started talking to me about coming back and doing a book, and I really thought about it and tried to think of what I would want to do, and I just couldn't come up with anything, and Marvel was nice about offering some stuff, too. I just didn't want to do a book. I wanted to be part of something that felt like an initiative. Those were, for me, these really exciting moments when I was at DC, like the New 52 and Rebirth, where we all sort of said, this is what we're about, and sometimes one of the things that was frustrating was, to be honest, like, it felt like we either pulled towards new or we pulled towards legacy. And, you know, we couldn't sort of do both at the same time, which a lot of us felt was, you know, was not only, like, the right thing to do, but would be easy. But it always was this kind of push and pull. And so I was like, look, if we can come up with an initiative where we do the New 52 and Rebirth at the same time, at this particular moment, I would love to be a part, and I would consult on it. So what I'm basically, I have a consulting contract for the year with them that's, really, it goes until the beginning of all of this stuff, and then I'm just a writer, essentially, again. But what I did was sort of help them come up with, and Josh as well, Williamson, come up with a plan that would be 2 years from when we started planning and give everybody enough time to wrap up their story arcs or begin new story arcs, make creative changes if they want, the creators, not just the editors. Talk to everybody, you know, Tom Taylor on Nightwing, Ram V, and, like, everybody there, and everyone was aware of it for well over a year about, come fall 2024, what we want to do is just have one massive jumping on point with every kind of superhero story at once. So we'll tell a story with Darkseid and the Justice League and this all-in number one, like Rebirth number one, that kind of thing, that essentially creates a new universe. There's only two right now, the multiverse in Absolute Power. You'll see something happens where, without giving anything away, the cosmology is sort of rearranged because of this big thing that happens with Darkseid. And because of that, a new universe is born. And this universe is essentially incubating a dark side. And because of that, the energy there, the feel of it is chaotic and fluid, zigzaggy. Like, it's a very sort of wild place. And so that universe, the Absolute universe, is a place where we get to reinvent all the characters in a really daring, fun way. And in the main universe, what we're doing is giving every book a jumping on point. And we have some new creative teams. Some books haven't been announced yet for December. We have some amazing ones in December and January. But the whole goal was to be like, look, honestly, the cultural conversation around superheroes the last couple of years has been really shitty. I mean, it feels like The Times, The Wall Street Journal, they're all doing these autopsies about the Marvel Universe and how superheroes are done and whether or not the superhero universes in cinema were good and all this stuff. And it just felt like everybody's shitting on superheroes, and yet, like, in comics, superheroes are not only alive and well, but living out some of their best stories, you know? Immortal Hulk, Nightwing, Venom, all these great things. And so it was like, let's do an initiative that celebrates every kind of superhero story at once. The daring, bold kind of reinventions of these characters that keep them fresh and new and, you know, and dangerous. And the biggest legacy storytelling, the most epic kinds of narrative that we can do on the main universe. And so that's what got me excited. And so my job essentially was to make a story with Josh that would allow for this to happen, and then help identify and try and bring in people that might be excited about it. So, you know, I reached out to Jason Aaron and Kelly Thompson. And then the editors really did a lot of it too. So it was more of me being a cheerleader, a spokesperson, not telling anyone what they had to do, but sort of asking the editors to be able to, asking the editors to essentially be able to take their biggest swing. That was my pitch to them, was, look, like, in the fall, everybody takes their biggest swing, whether it's, like, classic, whether it's a classic book, like a continuing book, whether it's a new book, whether it's a continuing creative team, and so the goal was to have it be, like, everyone is doing the biggest thing they can in every book, with everything being a jumping on point from fall onward, you know, from October, November, December. Everywhere you look will be a new story starting at DC. And that was the fun. It's really simple. There's no retcon. There's no reboot. It's not like, you know, new numbering even. There's a lot of incentives to get people into stores. Like, if you buy, we announced it, but we're about to really implement it, where if you go, we're going to give retailers all these Justice League cards, where on week one, it's a Batman themed one, week two, and it looks like a card that they use in the book. Mm-hmm. Week two, it's Superman. Week three, it's Wonder Woman. There's a couple surprises in it, too. Like, but there's five of them. And every week that you go into your store and buy three DC comics of any kind or four DC comics of any kind, you'll get one of these cards. And it's up to the retailer. If they see a kid and they want to just give them a card, that's cool, too. We don't want to make them have to have a checklist or whatever. But the goal is to just encourage people to get back into a weekly buying habit. If you go in there, you buy Marvel comics, great. You go in there, you buy whatever, great. But the feeling is people want to go back into stores every week. And there's this kind of calcified belief that people go in once a month. And it's become that way. And it feels like all you have to do is give real readers like an excuse to go in every single week. And they can't wait, you know? Yeah. So that's what this is. It's all in the books, meaning every story starts a new story, narrative, new jumping on point, new arc. It's all in, like, we're all in as creators. Everybody is doing it across the entire line. And then it's all in the stores. Like, the goal is that everyone is pointing people towards their local comic shop week after week after week after week. So that's kind of the entire pitch of the whole thing. It really is just a celebration of all kinds of superhero comics all at once, starting at once, just enjoying the party and being like, we're alive and well and having the best time yet.
What I love about this approach and hearing you talk about it is, I mean, literally with you and Joshua Williamson up front, but also everything that you're saying, it seems very creator-forward, creator-driven, and I love to hear that.
100%. Nobody was told what they had to do.
Yeah.
Nobody was given even the main story about Darkseid and Justice League, it creates this shape for the universe, and then it plays out in its own ways that I don't want to go too far, but some in Justice League and other places, but those things are designed by those creators, and the ways that Rahm's New Gods book ties into all of it was all Rahm's doing. As a creator who enjoyed doing those initiatives but sometimes felt the heavy hand or thumb on the scale of people at DC, my goal was to make sure that this one was not about me. It's not the Scott show. It's not what I think should work. It's not how I would do your book. There's some books that I adore and some books that aren't my style, but I love that the creators are absolutely passionate about them with the editors, and that makes me excited. And I say, let's do it. Let's try it. I don't care. As long as you guys think it's awesome, I trust your vision. Let's do it. The only mandate was like, you have to take your fucking biggest swing. It has to be awesome. It has to be the story that if you got a chance to just have a new reader come in and be like, what is this? That you're just like this. And so it's fun. It really feels celebratory. I go out to DC now, and like the first time I went there, I went and like, let's talk honestly, like it's a hard few years in terms of COVID and then moving offices, and you know, they don't work all the time in the office anymore. It's remote, and the space that they're in at Warner Brothers is a Warner Brothers. It's not the offices that were all DC Comics. It's integrated into a larger Warner Brothers building, and so all of this feels like, you know, the feel was I went there and I'm like, I love these people. I don't know how much longer the same people will work at DC that I know and came up with and love. Why don't we all throw the biggest fucking party that we can and remind everybody that Superhero Comics and DC Comics, we know who we are. We're awesome. And it was that feeling of, it has a spiritual level to me. It really does. I know it sounds stupid, but I'm not fucking around. Like, I mean what I'm saying about it. Like, and, you know, I'm putting my money where my mouth is, doing the book that I'm most terrified to do for it, you know? So for me, it was like, everybody take your biggest swing. I'll take my biggest swing. We'll all go out there, show everybody that there needs to be urgency. There needs to be a sense of, like, comics are great. There needs to be, like, we're all starting something new. Because that was what we used to do that pre-COVID with these initiatives. And because of the structure of companies right now and the buying habits that have become kind of rutted in, people just don't do it as much. It's more, you know, it's more decentralized. It's more sort of atomized. It's more like you just have the books you like, and that's cool. The books, there's a lot of great books. But what's missing is that sense of, for me, we're all in this together. Let's do something together at the same time. Let's celebrate the form and go out and show everybody. It's like, I wanted to call it Comics Fuck Yeah. And obviously they wouldn't let me do that. And then they were like, well, what do you want to call your book? And I was like, Batman Fuck Yeah. And they're like, can't do that. And then I was like, Batman is fuck. And they're like, you can't do that either. And then I was like, what if we use the acronym though? If it was Batman Absolute Frontier, if they were absent, and it was Batman AF. And we got this close, and before legal was like, you can't do that. We just can't call it AF. So I still call it Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman AF. I call it the AF line. Jason calls it the AF line. Kelly calls it the AF line. I'm going to do a trailer where it's called AF just for fun. But that's the feel of it. It was like, let's just go out and have fun and be brazen and just do things, you know? Like, everybody do the comic you want to pick up and read. That's the goal of it. Like, that's the whole goal of it. So there's no big trick. There's no, like, you know, oh my God, somebody dies. There's no, like, I mean, you know, somebody does, but it's not what, it's very obvious what's, like, they reform in the, it's, you'll see. But what I'm trying to say is it's not a gimmick. It's, it's a moment. It's trying to create a moment where we're like, let's all go back to the stores, party every week. We'll give you brand new story every single week, new creator teams, new things, some continuing stories, like same people on Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, a lot of continuing books because they're doing really well, Birds of Prey, but, you know, new offerings too, but everything will start a new story arc. So every week you'll have something to pick up and be like, I want to go to the comic store, and we'll have these cards for you, and we're going to be doing all kinds of variant. We lowered the threshold, the variant threshold, so that people can buy retailer variants now. Stores can do them at 1,000 instead of 3,000 or whatever it is. So we're trying all these things at once to be like, let's celebrate Superhero Comics and welcome people into stores and reward the retailers every single week.
First of all, I love how passionate you are about this. That's great to hear. But I do want to talk about the project you're most terrified of, Absolute Batman. So obviously we talked a lot about your Batman run. And one of the big themes that you were playing around with always was Gotham City and his relationship with Batman. Now that you're coming back to this very different Batman, what, I don't know what you can talk about necessarily with the book, but how much does that play in versus saying, okay, that's mainstream Batman, that was Gotham City, this Batman is blank?
This Batman is completely different. Like, and Greg Capullo is sitting right over here with me.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to call
No, him no, out. And he's my brother from another mother and the best creative partner I've ever had, best mentor. I'm saying all kinds of nice stuff about you. That's it.
Oh, my ears are ringing.
Yeah, right? So that's why you thought it was coming in your phone. Like, it was like the... and so one thing I want to make really clear is I am not trying to touch the hem of the stuff that we did before. I'm not going back to that well with the same ideas or characters or that stuff. Like, it's not that. if I wrote Batman for me last time about the things I'm afraid of, and that was the personal journey of getting to do that character, I'm afraid of, you know, what the Joker says is representative of the things I was afraid of during those years. My kids are coming up facing a world that feels really scary in a different way than what I faced, you know? And what I want to do is make a Batman that's dark and not like and lives in a world that's dark and frightening in a different way, the way Gotham was when we did it about my fears. And so this really is about a Bruce that comes up in a Wayne family. He's Bruce Wayne. His family never has any money, though. They're just, his mother is a works in the mayor's office, and his father is a teacher. He wanted to be a doctor but wound up as a teacher. And Bruce comes up, he grows up in Crime Alley, and he's friends with a lot of the characters you wouldn't expect him to be friends with because they all grew up in the same neighborhood. And he's a big dude because he doesn't have to pretend to be suave and wear a tuxedo. But something really traumatizing happens with his parents when he's young, and it makes him want to affect change. And he believes that he can do this even though he has nothing. He's more in this. He's like, he's the agent of chaos. Bruce is the monkey wrench. He is kind of the thing that his villains often claim to be in the main universe. Here, instead of being system and order and that, Batman is the thing that says, I want to change everything. I'm going to disrupt it. I'm going to be out there. And it's the system and it's the city that's much more menacingly entrenched with money, and villains have resources in this and all of that. So it really is it's a total inversion of the mythology. And there'll be some surprises, I think, that will really excite people from day one. I'm it's hard for me not to spoil it, but there's characters you're not going to expect to see. They're all reinvented. But there's villains reinvented. There's new characters, all of it. But I love this Bruce. And this Bruce, to me, is... like, this speaks to what I look at my 17-year-old and say, you know, I hope Batman stands for this for you. Facing all of these kind of systemic and entrenched problems, the goal of the book is Alfred is kind of secretly the main character of the first arc, where he's been around the world, he's very jaded. He's like part of MI6, and he comes to Gotham on this mission, and he crashes into Bruce. And Bruce is this crazy, idealistic, primal force in Gotham, and Alfred is just like, this kid is going to get murdered in like 2 minutes. But he keeps inspiring Alfred to be like, maybe there is a way to not always be compromising. And what I want is for my kids to feel like you don't have to take the corrupt and kind of, you know, compromised or rotten or even like just, you know, non-imperfect things that we've built for you. You know, when it comes to anything, when it comes to politics, when it comes to climate, when it comes to just, you know, socioeconomic everything, like, make something new. Be daring, be defiant, be somebody that like threatens to burn it down to make something that no one's ever seen. That's what Bruce is here. Bruce is like the chaos, you know, and I love it.
Well, but on the same note, I was talking to Jason Aaron a little earlier about Absolute Superman, and we were getting around this a little bit. And again, I know it's hard to talk about a book that hasn't come out yet, but I imagine part of the story still is what is the core of Batman, and that's consistent even if you rotate everything around him, right?
Yes, he won't kill. He's an idealist, and he believes that he should be a symbol. He wants to be a symbol of inspiration that things can get better and change. He tries to take... Batman at core is a really simple thing to me. He's somebody who has an event that essentially traumatizes him, that makes the worst thing that can happen to a kid. And, you know, instead of taking that and saying, this makes me feel like the world is, you know, a dark place that isn't worth it, says, no, I'm going to use this as fuel to be the catalyst of change, to make sure this doesn't happen again. That's what Batman is here, too. It's the exact same thing. It's the only difference is he doesn't have the resources, and he's coming at it from the city is much more, and the villains have much more than he does, whereas he's not in a place of privilege. He doesn't have all the money and the resources and that. Here he's got to be more of like a guerrilla fighter. He's got to be like stash houses all over the city that he has, and he's got a cape that he built, because he's a super smart guy. He's an engineer, and he built a cape with these bars in it that he can walk on the wing and the things, and he can hook you with it and throw you, and it's bulletproof, and he's got all these gadgets and things he's built, but he doesn't have the high-tech electronic stuff or whatever. And so that's who he is to me. He's just like, he's a warrior, man. I love him.
Yeah. I know I'm going to have to let you go in a second, but I did want to ask you real quick.
That sounds good, right?
It sounds awesome. I'm very excited about it. With all the Absolute stuff going on, with all the All In stuff going on, are we still going to see you do the Comixology to Dark Horse pipeline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I still have the books that I have there. I'm very excited about them. I mean, I love all the indie stuff I've gotten to do. I got to spend like 4 to 5 years like just doing indie stuff with no superheroes, you know? And it was a blast. Like, I got to do every idea in my head for a while, you know, from small, like, intimate thrillers like Wildfires at IDW or Dungeon to, like, big bombastic horror series like We Have Demons or sci-fi series like Clear, White Boat at Distillery. And now I'm just ready to kind of be able to take some time and really focus on superheroes for a bit. And also, you know, I'm going to continue having what I always did, which is like one indie book, maybe two indie books on the side. But I've had this creative walkabout the last few years. It's been incredibly thrilling to me. I just want to be able to, it's kind of like coming back home to the stuff that like you always love to do, both superheroes and horror, you know, and be like, now I want to come back and do this in a different way with the things I learned while I was over there.
Well, but at the same time, you're spending like half your time show running witches as well,
yes,
right?
And that is like, it is a dream job, and I love everybody in the room. It is just, it is definitely murdering me having both right now. It's been like the worst summer of my life work-wise in terms of the work is the best work. I love the work more than anything, like in terms of, you know, there is no better thing than getting to make these books and that show. I love it. But it's the first summer ever where I feel like I've missed everything with my kids and my wife. And so The Room ends in October. I love what we're making. I can't wait to do season 3, hopefully. If they, you know, we don't know if we're on season 2 right now. But yeah, it's been, I'm excited to be in production and be able to work on comics and in production and not be in the room every day on top of comics, just because it is murdering me as much as I love all of it. And I mean, I adore the work and I adore the people. It's a lot. I didn't expect it. It wasn't supposed to be like this. It was the writer's strike pushed The Room to now, whereas this was going to be my big comic time and that was going to be my show time was 6 months ago. And so because it's all on top of each other, it's just sort of surviving until October, making the best stuff we can.
Well, awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. Scott, thank you as always. I can't wait to be all in on DC All In.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And again, I want to say thanks to everybody out there that's being so supportive and excited about all this stuff we're trying. I mean, I really do love it. And hey, John, I really do love it. And I'm very, very thrilled to be a small part of it. You know, everything good that you like about it, and I think there'll be a ton, all credit to the creators involved, not me. So I hope you go check everything out.
And if you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comics. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at Terrificon.